Hello and welcome to Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Marcus Marks.
And we're back to talk about Season 2, Episode 6 of the Cruel Summer Show, The Plunge. We're plunging. Kind of plunging. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about the whole plunge business in this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, some, you know. Complaints mostly.
Okay.
This episode is written by Jason Sack, who's a story editor on the show. I believe it's the first episode he's done. Directed by Laura Nisbet Peters. What did you think of this episode?
Doesn't she have a PLL connection?
She directed some episodes of that Steel Magnolias show. So,
oh, okay.
There's that. Okay.
What did I think of this episode? Could have been worse.
I'd say it's maybe one of the better ones, but I don't think that's saying much. But it seemed like stuff was actually happening in this episode, at least.
It just seems weird to, I don't know. I mean, it's some of the stuff with the timeline of the relationships that we're waiting to get through. I feel like this would make sense if it was a 13 episode season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I mean, you got a scene where the sheriff is lifting weights. What else do you know?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. We're
gonna. I mean, he is. That. He is just like a raw sexual panther in this episode.
He's just doing what he can to elevate the material, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no. Make sure you get the guns in the shot as I lift this like 35-pound.
But the best fucking moment of the episode is when like they're in his office and like Brent mouths off to him. Mm-hmm. And he just like comes over and like shuts that door real close. I was like,
stares at him.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm leaning in. Yeah, so this one takes place July 30, 1999, December 30, 1999, and July 30, 2000.
I was happy to see this because I was like, oh, well, like we're so close to the 31st when we'll finally find out what actually fucking happened, you know?
So, do they just drop the winter timeline like the last two episodes or?
No, I'm sure there'll be some aftermath to that.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, when does he die? If it's actually him, because we have not seen a body.
I'm hoping it's going to be the next episode. I'd like that to be the case.
But my only question,
they might be able to stretch it out for one more. I don't know.
Watching this episode, like it's like I updated my theories a little bit. My only question for listeners who have seen the finale is there a post-credits scene or a stinger or whatever you want to call the Jeanette thing from last time.
Yeah, we shall see. Anyways, I was going to say S2E6, The Plunge, or the alternate title. I don't know if you saw this on IMDb. The alternate title was The Absolute Cucking of Jeff by the Right Ho, Megan Landry. I mean, damn, Jeff.
It's a little mouthy.
Ouch. My dude is taking some L's this episode.
He got X-teened. Also, the alternate title is "This Show Hasn't Earned the New Radicals, and You Get What You Give."
It's so typical of this show. It's like, oh, we're playing that song that you remember, and then it just kind of fades out when the scene starts. It's just like, it's just wallpaper.
Yeah, you're all fakes. Run back to your mansions.
So the show, as we start here, Megan's doing her makeup because it's Luke's birthday. And the show's making a big deal out of like, ooh, like 99 Megan, summer 99 Megan's kind of like she's let her hair out of her ponytail. She's spicing it up. I really didn't notice until they pointed it out. I was like, has that been a thing?
Well, they pointed out twice because her look is so, I feel like Megan is better dressed in the winter stuff. Not that you can tell because it's so washed out.
Yeah.
But yeah, hair wise, I was like, oh, Is this different? Also later on when Brent is like clearly like looking at the figure and he's like, something's changed about you. And she's like, oh, I was like, oh shit.
What is up with the Brent character on this show? I feel like they keep going back and forth with that guy.
So big theory is end of the show. post-summer 2000, her and Brent end up together.
Ew. Why would we want that, given what the show has shown us so far?
I feel like the show has shown that, like, only she makes an attempt to get to know Brent.
But Brent sucks.
He does suck. But I feel like they're going to be like, oh, it was the disappearance and death of his brother that got Brent to change his fucking ways.
Fucking great.
I feel like there's the chemistry test in this episode to see, can we end it with Megan and Brent?
That would be so bad, which what, of course will happen now.
The Ned stuff is terrible.
What are they doing there? I mean, we'll get to it. But yeah, it's like, it's episode six. If this is going to be important, you needed to like spring this a little earlier.
Yeah. So also, because it's the fucking show written for the internet, who's not there for it, Isabella says in the beginning that like Megan and Luke are endgame.
Yeah. I was just like, don't stop. We didn't say that back then.
We did not say that back then.
Megan or Isabella is just like, I broke up with Luke because you said you liked him. It's totally cool. I don't mind at all because I'm just here for the summer. Like, I'm just all about pleasing you in whatever way I can, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, what the fuck is going on with this girl? Like, is she swinging the three-way? I don't know. But like, yeah, her and Luke were only ever going to be a fling, she says.
Well, and she was like, oh, what did he say? How'd he take it? And this Bell says, he was surprised for sure, but he took it pretty well. Would you? I don't know. That'd be kind of like blindsided, I feel like. Right after he had sex, she's just like, smell you later.
Oh, also, you were dumped the night before your birthday?
Yeah. And in this scene, that's like her only question. Megan's like, I feel like she would have at least asked, like, did you say anything about me? You know, like, yeah, just to check, like, check the temperature there.
Did you pass that note?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Isabella's like, you know, the surprise party that you're hosting at your shitty ass house for him, it's going to be a blast.
It's not even a surprise, is it?
Oh, I think it's a surprise. It's just lame.
But we never see like the surprise moment.
I think he gets home early or something.
That happened off screen or something.
Well, because he walks in and he seems kind of surprised.
Hmm. I thought he was surprised by her because she's like in a dress. It's like, oh, I did not realize you had curves.
And showered.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this girl has been walking around in bikinis.
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense, but whatever.
Her uniform is totally like form-fitting at her shitty restaurant. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, oh, this party's going to be a fucking blast. He'll forget all about me and he'll be like Goo-Goo Gaga for you.
Realize that what he wants has been in front of him this whole time. Like, thanks, writer of the show, Isabella. Like, why? What motivates you?
Yeah. So, Winter 99, we actually do get a 90s colloquialism because they're going to go to the plunge, which is the bomb, Megan says. I refuse to believe that.
Chatham Plunge is the bomb. So, okay. The plunge is they like run like, into the lake.
On this like Dario Argento shot of like Isabella's feet. Yeah, it's just like polar bear clubbing, right?
But well, they just run into the lake where we've seen them like in the summer, like on the beach there. But like, did not we see in episode one an actual plunge where they like jumped off the cliffs into the cold water?
Yeah.
It seemed like that was the plunge. That's worthy of the word plunge. This is more of like a run into the water.
Well, so Isabella asks, how cold is it again? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't fucking know, Isabella. How cold was it like 2 weeks ago?
I know. It's like they forgot.
Jumped out of the fucking sky. Yeah. So anyways, she gets this IM.
Megan gets an IM from the Ned guy, C. Babbage 5, that says, job opportunity today at my house. I need an extra set of hands on a software patch, which doesn't make it, I don't know. This whole plotline makes sense if he's like trying to groom her, because otherwise it doesn't really make any sense. But
and I don't think that's where we're going.
No, it would be weird if they introduced that now, I guess. But it's weird that they're doing something to this guy now anyway. They've been like hinting at this guy for like five episodes, but it's like, I don't know, we're halfway through the season now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little too late. Seeming this guy's whole thing is he's got like a crazy fortress house. Mm-hmm. In like 99, which would have been a real feat, and he loves mustard a little too much.
And they said people he was like employee 12 at Apple or something like that.
Yeah, so they fired him because he pitched the Newton.
Don't get me started on that. But anyway, so she gets this IM, and they're all set to go to the plunge, and then she's like, "Oh shoot, at the bail, actually. And Isabel's like, what? And Megan's like lies and says, oh, I have this paperwork that I have to send to UW for scholarship. Like, deadline's today. Can't wait. Like the deadline would be the 30th, but whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then on the IM, it says, we'll pay money. So extra incentive for her. I don't know why she couldn't just say, hey, this opportunity just came up. I could really use the money. Sorry. Like, why she has to be so secretive about this. It's not like they're like hacking the Gibson or whatever here. She's just like helping him with some stuff. Like, I don't, maybe this will come into things later, but yeah, it's like, you're just like doing a gig for some money. I feel like Isabella would understand that.
I have a lot of questions about that, but number one, Isabella, for all of her, I don't know, this almost Riverdale-esque, like trying to make her an iconic character before they make her a character, mm-hmm. which is the fucking Cheryl Blossom problem. It's like, because her whole thing is like, oh, chaos is my brand or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, what if she had taken Megan aside and been like, Megan, I've skirted around the truth. Like, it's an obstacle course my entire life. You know you're bad at lying, right? Yeah. Like, I'm your bestie, but like, this is fucking trash lying.
I mean, I guess this is just trash more lying. Grist for the like, oh, Megan's acting weird mill that they're like been on for two episodes now. But all of a sudden in winter time.
I will need somebody to explain to me what he's having her do, why he needs her to do it.
And he has like a Y2K bug that he's having her help with. I don't know why he needs her there. He's seemingly already written the software patch. I don't know.
But the show is very good about the fact that she is a novice computer nerd.
She's a hacker. She's right, a coder. Okay,
she's not like super hacker, right? She's just like, she's learning some stuff. She's on the road to an education.
She mentions that he's helped him out. Or he has helped her out a lot, like learn and stuff. Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like he's like, Megan, you've got the most raw hacking talent I've ever seen in my life. The prophecy said you're the chosen one of hacking. It makes no fucking sense why you need this cute.
It's so clunky that I can only assume this is going somewhere, but I don't know where.
Okay. That's a meta statement for the whole fucking show. Meanwhile, then we just dissolve over to, I feel like
a lot of match cuts in this.
The match cuts, though, are a little like they're going for something here.
Mm-hmm.
This is like clearly like a director who's like worked on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we match cut to her in like Trinity era of summer 2000 where she's on her laptop and now she's got a printer working on her codes or working on her IM. Sorry.
Yeah. Ned has texted her or messaged her and said, did that code help you access the files you wanted? Yes, it did. But I hit some other roadblocks. Might need another assist at some point, and then her mom comes in.
Also, it's summer 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
L Chambers 2000 is online on AIM.
Luke Chambers 2000?
Yeah.
I don't
know. It was Film Fan 75, which I assume is my boy
Jumba
Jeff.
Thumpa. Paul Away. Who's Chatham Beach Girl 99?
It's probably that blonde
The blonde
girl.
Chick?
Yeah, the baby oil girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's like talking to Ned about some roadblocks of her code, and then Debbie
wearing her favorite
helmet, wearing her helmet and her little vest that has like the glow in the dark strips on it when she's wandering at night.
Yeah, she asked if Megan has slept at all. She says not really. Luke would have been 18 today. A year ago, I was planning his 17th birthday. Now there's a memorial instead. Debbie's like, it's so hard to believe he's gone. I don't actually understand the concept of death. Is that like when you break your leg?
Why do people have to die? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, by the way, hon, where'd you get the laptop?
Which she's had it this whole time in summer 2020 or 2000, right?
This is Debbie.
It just seems like we're asking now because we need to throw some suspicion on Ned. So she says, a friend. Debbie's like, who? And then she just puts her headphones back on. And Debbie's like, okay, I'll just take you, ignoring me, even though you're like maybe about to be charged for murder, and I'd really like you to be honest with me.
Yeah, and your lawyer left town.
Mm-hmm.
But like, or suspicion on Ned, or suspicion on what has Megan been doing to earn a laptop or whatever. Yeah, so the shrine is like...
I just blue screen, Marco.
What does that mean?
He just like froze.
Oh, am I still here? Can you see me now?
No, you're fine.
So we're looking at this shrine, which is whatever. Stay Strong, Chatham. There's a picture of the actor as a little kid.
The shrine that's outside the like country club or whatever. They're pretending this is the house.
Yeah. Oh, so here's my question. Does Brent go grunge out of grief?
Oh, he looks too late for that. He'd go like new metal or something, you know?
He looks like he's like country club grunge though. Like
when he shows up in that sheriff scene later, he has like a flannel shirt on, but like this, it's short sleeve and then the sleeves are also rolled up. So it's like almost like a vest. It's like,
what, like the one doing? He's wearing, like the one he's wearing right now. But like, he's probably wearing Vans, but it looks like he's wearing boat shoes with these shorts. It might be. Like, it's like, you could have just got this kid some Chucks, dirty Chucks.
So there's a bunch of flowers and random, you know, memorial stuff for Luke here. She's sitting outside of the country club and, what's this guy's name?
Brent.
Brent walks up.
She's laughing with Brent.
There's a really weird tone to all this where it's as though she's still chummy with Brent, like it's summer 99 and we've forgotten all about the strife of winter 99.
Yeah.
And they're just like kind of commiserating, kind of old friends missing the brother / boyfriend. Yeah. I found the whole tone of this all a little bit weird.
Talking about how, I think they're setting up something here. But yeah, like Luke was the worst rapper, which I believe the only thing that made me laugh in this episode was that his rap name was DJ Just Stop.
Mm-hmm.
He used to beatbox, which meant he just like sprinting around spitting on people. I think it's the first time we've ever seen her smile in her Trinity era.
Yeah, probably. So they're just reminiscing. I was waiting for like a turn where he's going to be like, so why'd you kill him or something like that? But no, it never comes. They're just, you know.
He's
enjoying
like,
the memories of the good times. He admits he was such a dick to him. And Megan's like, yeah, you were. You're kind of a dick to everyone, so it's okay, I guess.
He's like, I was such a dick to them. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, speaking of dicks, touch mine.
Still, you know, he didn't deserve it. And this is where I thought a turn to come, but then it just doesn't. They just sit there and she's sad. Like, I think this is the first time we've actually seen her actually sad about Luke, because I feel like in the past she's just been making a weird constipated face every time Luke's murder comes up.
Finally it's like he's sad.
I mean, it feels like this is the part of the season where they're really trying to be like, no, like we wanted you to think Megan might have killed him earlier, but now we want you to think that she didn't. So maybe there's still one final reveal to come with Megan, but it feels like they're putting their thumb on the scale now and being like, okay, Megan definitely didn't kill him.
Also, I feel like whatever's going on there, Brent's sideburn is the wrong shape.
Yeah.
It looks really weird.
Yeah, it is very weird. It's kind of like rounded in the front.
Yeah. It's almost like there was like an accident in the haircut makeup, you know, that morning.
Yeah. So cut to summer 99, getting some birthday candles out of the drawer. And we've got like a checklist, you know, make punch, beer, sweet porch, chips, set up music, put up signs, candles, balloons, all for Luke's party that they're having at Megan's place while her mom is gone till 10, which doesn't seem late enough.
No. And her, like Debbie's reaction later is fucking bananas.
It's Debbie. So, what's like, her face? Megan's running around. She's in her kind of like nice, you know, sexy dress now. Brent shows up. He had to make a few stops. He brought like this giant like a boombox. It looks very heavy, apparently.
Looks very not ice. 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Brent is like all in on this party, which I don't buy. Like, who's paying for all this? Megan's not.
Maybe she's using her tip money or something. I don't know.
But I mean, she's paying for like their mortgage then, because Debbie can't hold down a fucking job. I mean, but this dress does look good on her, though.
Yeah, I mean, once again, these two are very chummy, you know, and he's just like looking at her like something's different. Maybe it's because you're in a mini dress, and she's like, oh, I showered.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. I know it's probably just a throwaway line, but like, it implies potentially, if you take it seriously, that she usually doesn't shower.
And that she smells, yeah.
Yeah, so by the way, they got rid of the little sister.
Oh, yeah, she's at her friend's or something. It's like, is your sister real? I'm not sure she is. Why is a sister going to matter at any point? Like, why does she have a sister?
I feel like they needed to give Megan a reason to have not turned her mother over to some kind of state agency that can like watch out for her and just like disband and join another family.
If
she has to have a sense of responsibility.
Yeah, because if I'm like the network stooge reading the script, I'm like, do we need a sister? Can we save some money?
Yeah. Like it's tough working with child actors and like the hours you can have them. What is the point of this?
So Megan's saying she wants this to be the best birthday ever, get Luke's mind off everything. And he's like, what? You mean like being dumped like a chump? And he says, just keep the import in her trailer and it'll be fine. And he says, you know, I always say the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else. Ha ha. High five. No high five.
Oh, I just got the greatest screen cap of her of all time. Mm-hmm. She's making a crazy face. She's making like an almost Debbie face. Anyway. Yeah, it's like, I feel like he should really, beyond the like looking at her figure, like read something into her attitude.
Mm-hmm. Like, if they try to put these two together, that's so completely bizarre, because he's just been like a real shitheel for the entire show. Just like openly, like racist, misogynist. Like,
but tell me you are not reading those signs in these two scenes.
I mean, I definitely notice it. It's like, why are these two so friendly in this episode? So, yeah, we'll see.
Because this is,
they'd established so far that like she used to maybe have a thing for him when they were younger, but like he turned into an asshole. But now we're back to her just like, you know, having fond feelings for him again.
Well, not so much a thing. She's the one who like saw the pain of him losing his mother and like then like made excuses for a long time because of the pain of losing his mother.
I read that to mean she had a thing for him.
There, you're just proving my way. But yeah. I feel like also episode 6 of your 10 episode season is when you're really like calibrating from all your previous mm-hmm. 5 writing mistakes into like building your ending.
Yeah, so he says,
you know what it is now.
Yeah. Just trust me, all right. This party's going to be something Luke will never forget.
So yeah, summer 2000. Trinity Megan is like opening up that junk drawer, and there's the birthday candles again, and she's pulling out some paper. There's some weird shots. And then we cut to winter 99.
That entire summer 2000 is just to show her like seeing the same birthday candles, but like being sad about it. Like nothing else happens in that scene. It's like 10-second song. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Paper's meaningless. Yeah. So then winter 99. This is both hardcore and laughable. Luke is working out with the sheriff.
The sheriff is just like his fucking life coach, man. He's like, come on, one more. I want to point out, is from what I can tell, we can't see numbers on these weights, but like, you know, we know what kind of weight sizes look like, right? Like we were in weight training. These look like 25s to me. So yeah. 225s in the bar, that's like 95. And Luke is really trying hard.
I'd like to point out that Luke's head is maybe smaller than one of the sheriff's biceps.
Yeah.
Like Luke looks like something the sheriff would use to pick shit out of his teeth.
Mm-hmm. So sheriff's just, you know, giving him some life lessons here and spotting him as he benches.
As he's feeling that burn, the sheriff is looking down at him, chuckling. He's like, that's how you build the power.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I could be here all year and I still wouldn't look like you. And it's like, yeah, that's right. But the sheriff's like, no, the attitude's part of your problem. Like, just because you're a little bitch doesn't mean that, you know.
Yeah, lead with confidence. Bully can smell that a mile away. Yeah, it's primal, he says.
Who is this sheriff character? I mean, he just changes. Like all the characters, he changes whatever like direction the wind is blowing. I mean, you know, the sheriff's going to pump on.
Yeah, he's got to get a pump on. Luke's complaining about Brent. And he says family knows how to push buttons better than anyone. Just as he's like lifting this, like that looks like maybe like a 35 or so. I don't know. He's just like just full on bicep shot of him doing some curls here. It's great. Yeah. He says, my dad used to be a my way or the highway kind of guy. He used to bully the hell out of me and my sister when we were kids. And Luke's like, oh, I can't see that with you. And he says, yep, he didn't want me to go into law enforcement. Thought it was beneath me. And he says he didn't listen, though. And he's like, nope, just getting more curls in right now. You biggest lesson I've learned.
You want to see where my dad's buried?
Yeah. So he says, be your own person.
Which I take this as more foreshadowing maybe about Luke's dad.
Yeah, yeah. We're going somewhere here. He says, yeah, be your own person. Don't let people tell you what's what unless it's a beautiful woman. Then you just let them think they call the shots. Just the life lessons we're getting from the sheriff here. And it's amazing.
I need to hear not that the sheriff has like a gambling problem, but he's like a lady problem.
He's got a lot of lady problems.
He's like, man, I got 7 girlfriends.
Yeah. Let them think they're having they're calling the shots, but always make sure you have the final say. He's like, totally. All right. And they like high five. And like he's like, one more set.
The high five looks like it would like knock Luke into another county. Yeah. Megan's like,
I just say that scene was like a delight. That was like my favorite scene of the episode, obviously.
Well, yeah, we want to get like one other. Well, we get two other sheriff scenes, but one is short and confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, the party is confusing as fuck too. It seems like, and this part I feel like is true to the world the show's established. We're in Megan's living room, and the usual fucking yokels, these usual dildos are here. You got Jeff, you got Eric, you got what may or may not be Freddie.
Jeff is filming a lot of this, so we're intercutting a lot to like his like camcorder footage.
Yeah, he's talking about the ponytail, but how she looks fly without it. I mean, was it really that much of a ponytail?
I never noticed it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, so this blonde girl, she looks like she's fun. I keep calling them baby oil girls.
I think it's Amy, maybe.
Yeah. But like this seems like this is the party. Later we'll be outside and suddenly there'll be like 50 other people.
I mean, he's rich. He's got a lot of friends, you know?
I guess. I don't know.
But in this, like, Jeff is like, oh, you always look fly. And she's just like, meanwhile, looking behind him at like them doing like jello shots. Like somebody dropped one. She's like, oh, I've got to get paper towels. So like immediately she's kind of ignoring him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I very confused by one of her scenes of Jeff because she doesn't want to brush Jeff off. She doesn't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm. But she is.
But yeah, she is. Luke shows up and she's like super jazzed about that. And he's like, wow, this is like a real fucking rad party, Megan.
And then from Jeff's camera POV, we see Megan just like run into Luke's arms, like happy birthday, like throw herself around him. And just, man, watching Jeff constantly like cut to Jeff being like, huh? What's going on there? Well, that doesn't feel good.
I mean, if this show was worth a fucking damn and they actually did physical media still, DVD extra would be just like Jeff's footage from this episode.
Megan says, what are friends for? Because Luke is so happy. And then Brent says, get each other naked wasted. I don't know what that means exactly.
Well, Brent's also like, hey, is Parker here? Everyone remember Parker?
My girlfriend, seemingly.
Haven't seen her in 2 to 3 episodes-ish.
And Luke comments that like, oh, Brent's actually being really cool today. And she says he's trying to, or he says he's trying to make me feel better in his own screwed up way.
Yeah. So he asks about Isabella, and like Megan's like, no, she's just laying low. She didn't want to ruin your party.
Brent thought it'd like, be weird for her to be here, she says.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like Isabella was going to hang out anyway. But yeah, he's like, no, it's cool. Tell her to come out. I'm cool. Maybe I'll pace myself with the alcohol. Which, look at this kid. Like, he has one drink. Yeah, I know. He's hammered.
Kid looks like he weighs 110 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, but like Megan wants to show that she's cool, Megan. So before he can take his next sip from the Red Solo, she's grabbing it and like taking a long sip, and he's just like, damn.
And she's like, oh, see, I'm slowing you down.
And he's like, what did you do with your hair? And she's like, I showered.
Yeah, I haven't seen it down like this in forever. And she says, felt like changing it up.
Which, I mean, okay, does that imply that, like, at some point you clocked that this girl was hot? This isn't, like, the classic, like, she took off her glasses.
I know, like, maybe she wasn't, like, glammed out in a dress before, but, I mean, it was, like, pretty obviously just, like, an attractive girl, you know? Like,
it reminds me of, like, season one and, like, the early timeline, like Jenna Turner had, like, kind of curlyish, frizzy hair.
I mean, they really did it to make you think, like, oh, yeah, I could see why she's not popular, you know?
It's like, oh, let's just catch this cute blonde and, like, well, I mean, there's a worse look, which is summer 2000.
Yeah.
Anyway, so get more footage from Jeff's camera, party cam.
Yeah, party cam. Luke has to go do 5 jello shots. They've got his name on it. You ever do jello shots?
Yeah.
Have you ever made jello shots?
No.
Okay. It's a pain in the ass. Like, Peanut and I did it a few times when I lived there. It's not like, I don't know. To make that many jello shots that he gets 5 of his own, I would be kind of like, hey, slow down on the jello shots.
I've tried to do the watermelon thing, but
I don't like watermelon, so
ultimately I was just like, what am I wasting my time with this for? Yeah, so we got a lot of Jeff party cam. Meanwhile, back in fucking Girl with the Dragon Tattoo summer 2000, she's like hacked into Interpol or whatever.
Like she's hacked into like the St. Bart's like PD or something because she has the case files from the Lisa death.
Well, like
it, she's like printed them out and is looking at them in front of her.
It's the classic thing of like she's not only got her laptop, which I guess she's just flouting this in Debbie's face as she sits at the kitchen table, but she's like doing the thing where she's like power drinking that coffee because she's up late working.
Debbie walks in and says, "Are those the police files on Lisa's death?"
And then she
from
says,
"St. Bart's."
And then she says, "I accidentally swallowed a thumbtack, and then another one too."
I don't understand how you have those, and I'm sure Megan would just be like, "You know, the internet." And Debbie's just like, "I don't know what that is." She says, "I thought Tom said those were sealed. Remind me, who the fuck is Tom? Her lawyer?
Maybe the lawyer. Yeah. So like,
Steve is the dad, right? Yeah. So
yeah, Steve's the dad. So then Megan's going to explain about like Isabella had a fight with Lisa. Lisa was clearly drunk. Isabella convinced her to go swimming anyway. I feel like you need to like refer to a whiteboard that has pictures taped to it that are drawn in crayon for Debbie to understand.
Yeah.
People heard them fighting.
Megan knows all this because she found a way, you know, around the sealed records.
Well, then the funniest line is like, then she left St. Bart's that night by helicopter.
Just picturing her like kind of like leaning out like on one of the skis or something like, so long, assholes, like two double middle fingers.
Like she's like fucking Belloc. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly.
Like Debbie just looks like shocked by the helicopter.
So she's a fugitive. No, the case was closed due to insufficient evidence. She seems pretty sufficient to me. So what do we know is that Isabel had been encouraging Lisa to go swimming, even though Lisa was drunk. And then later, when she was in the water, they heard them like fighting, like shouting at each other. And then like Lisa drowned apparently, and Megan like booked it out of there.
Look, we were having a drowning contest and she died. It's that
simple.
She won,
you know?
Yeah. And then Debbie's just like, you want to go see The Fugitive at the movies? And she's like, it's been out of theaters for years now, Mom.
That was a new movie and that they'll go see.
Yeah. Yeah, her parents supposed to use the connections to keep it quiet. Debbie reasons. And Megan's like, oh, she had a falling out with her friend and someone drowns. I mean, it's, and like Debbie's like, well, it's terrible. And like Megan's like, it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making connections I should have made months ago, Mom.
So,
okay. So here's my question. What is the fucking thing? Because last week they especially spelled it out for us, where obviously Megan knows something horrible about Isabella to the point where Isabella had to say, the more they find out about you on that night Luke disappeared, the more they'll find out about me.
I think we get that in later on this episode.
Okay.
The thing that Parker overhears. I think that's what they're talking about.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's the thing that Parker overhears, but I don't think we don't actually hear it though, right?
No, we do. We'll get there. Yeah. So anyways, back to the party in summer 99. Jeff is telling Megan all about Whidbey Island, how it has the best trails. And this is like the classic like smile on her face where it's like, I'm being polite and listening to you, but I totally don't care about what you're saying right now.
No, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. She is listening. She does care what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He says he's been camping with his parents since he's a child. And she's like, ha ha ha, I'm just picturing you in a diaper filming everyone, which is like, so friend zone.
Well, he's like, what do you mean in my diaper? And yeah, it's just oof. Right from the start, it's just not, it's not gonna happen, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like it's cool. Don't be a baby about it, Jeff, but she does not see you sexually.
But I mean, you mentioned the diaper, right?
No, he just says since I was like a kid.
Oh, so well, since he was a baby. Okay. So
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So then meanwhile, what's her name?
Amy?
Yeah.
I think I could be making that up. Let me look at it.
She looks like she should have a red lightsaber.
Yeah,
swinging around. Yeah, she's going to serve Luke and his posse of fucking losers. The one guy's got almost a poor man's Jamiroquai hat. I don't think this is the same Freddy, if this is Freddy at all. Are they just like cycling in a new guy as Freddy each week? Anyway, she's going to serve them a hurricane.
One of those guys is Tim.
Who the fuck is Tim?
He's the one who said, like, is the hurricane going to rip your top off, I think.
Okay. The guy in the yellow hat is Eric, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So neither of these guys is Freddy.
Okay. So, yeah. So Luke takes downs the hurricane in the red cup. She throws some water in his face and slaps him.
And they all laugh, and the other dude's just like, I'll have mine now, please.
Yeah.
And this has all been happening to the side of Megan and Jess' conversation, that she had just like basically like stopped talking to him to watch. And then they kind of look back from that, and he's like, so, yeah, my parents said I could bring a friend when I go back to Whidbey in August. And would you want to come? And like, meanwhile, she's looking over again because Isabel has entered, and like, she's not really watching Isabel. She's watching Luke react to Isabella. Yeah. And so, and it's like, people are like, oh shit, what you doing here? All that shit, you know? And then like, Jeff's like, Megan, hello. And she's like, huh, what? And like, clearly she didn't hear him like ask to go to the Whidbey Island at all. And he's like, I get it. Like, yeah, great party doesn't host itself. Like, find me later. Jeff,
leave.
Yeah. Just bail.
Just go. Something came up.
Wasn't he into Isabella a little bit in the first episode? I'm trying to remember if he was one of the ones who expressed interest or not.
He said hello. He was like, hi, I'm Jeff, in a way that's like, we're supposed to know he's Jeff.
But it wasn't, okay, it was a different guy who was like kind of flirty then. Brent. It was okay.
Brent and then some, like, maybe who was Freddie? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Jeff.
Okay.
Jeff is a little more respectful until he becomes like an asshole when he gets rejected.
I mean, I feel like he handles this pretty well here, all things considered, you know, just getting
so far, yeah,
completely humiliated and stomped on. Yeah. But like later on, he turns into a dick, like in like winter and summer.
Well, like, so Megan's like, oh yeah, I got to break up with Jeff. It's like, this doesn't feel like you're actually dating.
No, they're in like a liminal space where they haven't DTR'd it yet.
Yeah. They have not DTR'd.
Mm-hmm. She kissed him one time.
Yeah. So, you know, like they're handing out more hurricanes. So like I said, Amy Chick is just backhanding people left and right over there. But like, Megan wants to make sure, is Isabella like, are no second feelings or second thoughts? You sure you don't want to get back with him? And she's like, no, I'm good.
I'm positive. He's all yours. I exist only to like further your plot lines.
And well, Megan like smiles like a psychopath, like, he's mine. And he kind of looks over at her and she's like beaming at him. And Isabella's just like watching her beam at him. Meanwhile, this fucking plunge.
The plunge. It's, man, shooting in summer really hurt this movie. I'm sorry. Like, it never looks like winter when they're in winter 99.
No.
It just looks like it's a sunny day that you put a blue filter on.
This is not the beach where Laura Palmer's body was found. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
It doesn't look cold at all.
No.
It's clearly summer.
Okay, like, as the two of them walk up, as Luke and Isabella walk up, he is dressed right now somewhat, like I'm at like 1244. He looks somewhat like he's in the cold. She's not. She's in summer.
He's got a flannel on, unbuttoned over a shirt and like some white jeans. And she has like a very flimsy kind of like hoodie sweater on that's like mostly off her shoulders. And she's got like a tank top on, or it's actually not a tank top. It's a bathing suit underneath.
White one piece. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, it doesn't look very cold. Not at all.
Yeah. And then here comes Eric, who is a disgusting shit pig, but like, he brings up a good comment about like, why are you two hanging out in public? Like, you've been working on this lie for like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to take this public right now?
Yeah. It says something like, oh, we know you like an audience or whatever. And
can I plunge into you? He says to her.
Yeah. Classy.
And she's like, you're pathetic. And it's like, yeah, he is, but this is not even your best comeback.
And Luke says, it's not like you've ever done it with anyone ever. Go play with yourselves and leave her alone. And they're just like, whatever, dude. Before that, he and Isabella were talking about how, like she's saying, like, oh, Megan just, like, she got this message and, like, immediately bailed on. I don't know what's going on with her. She's being mysterious, you know?
Yeah. I feel like this Eric guy would have taken Megan or Luke mouthing off to him and just, like, shoved him across the beach.
I know. How much weight does this guy really pull in town just because he's rich? Is very believable. So Luke tells Isabella, hey, they're assholes, don't worry about them, whatever, eventually they'll move on to something else. And she says he gives them too much credit, but thanks. And so they've stripped down to their bathing suits, and she says, all right, we can do this or what, race you in. They both run in, because it's not really a plunge, because a plunge you would like just drop, right? Like, this is more of like a run into the water, which to me this would actually be worse to do. Like if you have to get in the cold water, I'd rather just go all at once rather than like having to force myself to run into it.
You're going to get two steps in this thing and be like, fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Got to do it all at once.
It's like this fucking curse that this show has where it's like, we've got to have some, you know, C plot thing happening to have events take place at that we can then mine for episode titles or thematic, whatever. Ugh.
Yeah. So
then they just kind of daintily get in like to their waist.
Yeah. Summer 2000. Debbie has gone into the trailer. She's recalling what Isabella told her about like something Megan was hiding in there. So she goes, or it actually like flashes back to like remind us, because you know the show thinks we're dumb like Debbie.
What was last week?
Yeah,
it'd be so funny if she just picks up like everything else in the trailer. It's like, oh my god, it's a clue.
So under the like bed area, there's like a like cabinet. She pulls out a trash bag. And inside is this bloody blanket, I guess. And they're terrible.
I can't tell if it's a blanket, a shirt, or a blouse.
Like shower curtain. Yeah. Well, it's rather large. So I feel like it's more than just like a top.
It is now. I don't think it was when Megan first threw it away. Yeah. I think it's growing. All right. So we get like, we're outside on the porch of Megan's house for the summer 99. Somebody's filling up a pitcher of beer from a keg. Where did this come from? Who can afford this?
She did have beer on the list of things to do. So, you know.
How much of the stuff is provided by Brent? Parker is like setting up a beer pong game on like a surfboard on some what are those, like workhorses?
Sawhorses. She did mention the sawhorses earlier. Yeah. I don't know why they have a surfboard, but
yeah, these are not surfing people.
Oh, they're on a lake.
So yeah, Isabella, but like there's the ocean is somewhere nearby, right?
Maybe, yeah.
So like Isabella runs into Luke and it's like awkward and she's like, hey, like Megan crushes party. And like Brent has to like, you know, come in and be like, traditionally in our culture, when you dump someone, you just don't crash their party. It's just like, I want to be like, I fucking live here.
Well, and Parker like looks over and scowls at this, you know, and then Luke's like, oh, ignore him. And she says, it's all good. He says, I don't want to be tied down senior year anyway, which is oof. And then Parker like goes up to Brent. She's like, traditionally in your culture, where is that douchebag island? And then she looks over at Isabella and they like share this smile like, haha, like fellow woman of color. I've put this guy down for being a racist asshole. But it's like, you're still dating him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're not exactly Hollaback Girls yet.
I just like why if they're like sharing a moment at like appreciating like a clapback for being racist, why are you then dating the guy still? Like, why don't you like tell him off or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. I don't even know if it's fully racist. And I say that only because she brought up a big thing about like, well, I'm American, but I'm from Europe. Oh, European culture.
It's xenophobic. Xenophobic minimum, you know.
For sure. And then it's like the actor playing Luke is like half Asian. So it's like, yeah. I don't know. It gets very confusing. It doesn't feel right. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, speaking of not feeling right, summer 2000, we're back in the sheriff's office when Steve comes marching in with Brent. He's just like, we need to talk.
Steve's got his rolled up shirt sleeves too.
No I tie. Feel like he like fucking like planned this. Like he looks, this dude does not look tough when he's standing up.
So this feels like him trying to throw people off the scent, right? Like if we think he did it, he's just like, what's going on with this case? Why haven't you charged one of those girls yet? All the evidence leads to them.
You know, what the hell kind of investigation are you running here?
It's been two whole weeks.
Yeah. And so like the sheriff's just like, I know it's supposed to be difficult for you. Why don't you like sit down and we'll talk about it? Because this is Luke's birthday. It would have been Luke's birthday. And he's like, no, why aren't you charging anyone? I just want somebody charged who's not me. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't go jumping on a half-baked theory. Plus, my theories are all ass. You should know that.
Oh, and then Brent chimes in and says, so instead you sit on your ass and do nothing? The sheriff just like looks at him. Stands up, walks over, shuts the door, gets like right up to the side of his face, kind of like a drill sergeant or something, you know?
Yeah.
Just like stands there and says, I'm following the evidence, seeing where it leads.
Yeah, he's fucking tough as hell.
Steve says it leads straight to Isabella, if you ask me. And Brent says her fingerprints were on the gun. Her bag of money was at the cabin. I mean, are they both in on it? I don't know.
I don't know. But, you know, he's like, I'm working around the clock. I'm leaving no stone unturned.
Is he really? I'll bet this guy's like still getting in like some, like, I don't know, basketball finals bets or something right now. It might be a little too late for that. He's getting in his like NFL futures.
He's on the phone of his bookie. Hey, he's like, come on, man. I took a real bath in March Madness, but I'm good for it.
Give me the under on the Seahawks this year. They suck.
Well, it's like, the thing is, other than that fucking thing with Steve Chambers and the, what was it, Winter 99, it's not like there's a scene where like the sheriff is like making some money disappear out of the evidence room or anything.
Well, for most of the scene, I'm like, okay, why is this scene actually happening? Because all they're doing is recapping what we already know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm getting bored. But then eventually Steve is like, well, I'm going to hire an investigator, someone who can get the job done. Because, like, you know, I need to get some real justice for Luke. And the sheriff's just like, whatever. And they just leave. So I guess we'll see a PI in the next episode. Can't wait.
Will we even? So now we cut back to summer 2000 or summer 99. Sorry, when Jeff is filming the beer pong thing about to happen. Megan does her like announcement to the group. Like, hey, everyone, this is the Luke Chambers Invitational Beer Pong Tournament, the first annual. I feel like we need more chatter from not just like the same six characters we've seen, but like for the rest of these extras being like, holy shit, did Megan shower? Is she wearing a dress? Did she shave
real
her
quick
legs?
Before she does that announcement, it starts with like video from Jeff's camera of her, and he's asking off screen, want to team up? And she says, yeah, sure, okay. So like she has agreed to be his teammate in this. Then we'll see what happens in the rest of the scene.
Yeah, this one dude is just like, oh, winner gets a beach.
And the girl, another random girl says, what if it's a girl? And then Eric says, then you get to give one. And they like high five. And they're really like going hard on just like all these dudes are sexist assholes.
Yeah.
And seriously. It's like, is this leading somewhere? Or are they just trying to do like, this was the flavor of the time?
Which is partially accurate to the 90s.
It's not inaccurate. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's like fucking Porky's High or whatever we go to school at. Everyone else looks like they couldn't, like any other extra we haven't seen before, looks like they could not give a fuck about this thing. This is only for like series regulars.
Mm-hmm. So it's teams of two. And so Parker, after clapping back at her shithead boyfriend, is like now like putting her arm around him and being like, yes, we will team up together. And then so Luke,
she tells Jeff, no, sorry, I'm going to be Luke's partner. It's his birthday anyway. And Jeff's like, okay. Which, okay, it's like, come on, Jeff. How are you going to be Megan's partner and film it at the same time?
Yeah. Well, Luke says, I call Megan as my teammate. And so she's kind of like, oh, yeah. She says she has good eye-hand combination. She says coordination. Take a break from the brewskis. And then she's like, oh, sorry, it's his birthday. He's like, it's cool. Just keep on stepping on my dick. It's totally awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well develop a fetish for it, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So Isabella's just like, I'll be your partner. And I want Jeff to be like, no, thanks.
Well, this is why I was wondering. I was like, were they into each other? Or is he into her ever? Because he like could not give a shit. He's just like, sure. You know, like doesn't seem to care about her at all.
I don't really think so.
Yeah, yeah.
So Debbie's got the thing, the ever-expanding thing of the weird floral pattern in a bag that she's like marching out of the airstream to the house when like fucking Steve Chambers shows up. Oh man, this scene. This guy is like, he's doing a thing. Like he really thinks this show is about his character.
Yeah, he really does. And she says, I was thinking about you. Today must be really hard. And
she's like, I was eating grass.
Says he's here to talk to Megan. And she says, Jack said we should limit our interactions. Jack's the sheriff. And he says, okay, screw Jack. He's not delivering justice. He's not going to make any demands. And he's like, well, I just need to talk to her. And she's just like, yeah, she's not here.
And he's like, that's her car.
Oh, no, my lie failed. But she's got to, you know, show a little spine here. You know, he's like, the stuff in the news about Megan being pregnant, it spells money at the cabin. You know, the girls are hiding something. I need to know what it is. I need to hear it out of Megan's mouth. Like, please. And he tries to like walk past her and she moves in front of him. And she's just like, I wish I could help. She's not home.
And I pooped myself. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, I'll be back.
Can't hide forever. I'll be back.
Good. He's like, God, I hope. Do we have sex? God, I hope not.
I might get in trouble for that. Like, you know, consent laws. I don't know.
Well, there's a scene later when they show up in the summer 99 mm-hmm. where it's like, it's implied that they've been dating or they've been on a date. And he gives Megan this look like, oops. So anyway, the plunge in winter 99. Isabella and Luke are out of the water. Like, she's got a big, like, Beetlejuice towel. She's, like, wrapping around herself. He's got, like, a hand towel.
It's a very contrived, like, oh, my towel is so small, I'm freezing. Oh, don't worry, we can share this big towel and, like, kind of huddle up close to each other.
It's not how towels work, exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially when you've gone out of a lake and you've just, like, pressed all that moisture into the towel. Okay. Wrapping that thing around yourself is going to be a nightmare.
There's a really weird moment here, which I didn't understand. Maybe you were like paying closer attention. They look over and they see some dude in like a polar bear outfit, I guess, or something.
Oh, he's been in the all summer or whatever.
He says he wears that thing all year, and they all laugh. Year. And that's
no,
it.
I have no idea.
I'm like, what? Did I miss something?
Maybe that's from the mysterious like Parker cut, where Parker, before they reshot scenes and like cut Parker out of the show.
Like, was there, I'm trying to think, like, was there, have we seen that weird, like, polar bear guy maybe in, like, a summer scene earlier? Like, has he been around at other times? I don't know why that was featured unless, like, that person is going to be important at some point.
If, like, in the episode 2 montage where the sheriff is, like grilling all the teenagers, he also had the polar bear guy who's just like,
Oh, she looks over and she's like, oh my God. And he's like, oh, he wears that thing all year. And it's like, okay. Is that supposed to be someone we know? I didn't understand it. I don't know. Somebody email us and tell us what we missed.
Or if it's a secret, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Also, like, okay, so the directors can't talk to extras because then, like, you have to pay them. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you look at the background of this scene, especially the water stuff, none of these extras in that scene are acting like that water is cold at all.
It's probably like 90 degrees wherever they're filming.
But like nobody was there to be like, by the way, it's freezing. Mm-hmm. Act like it's freezing. Yeah. So anyway, so meanwhile, winter of 99, she's coming to Ned's house. She's like, wow, Ned, your house is huge. Even though I was just inside your house the previous day when I brought you cookies or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't get a lot of visitors here except for the women I trap.
There's some very purposeful shots of like this like buzzer alarm thing that rattles. It's got like green and red lights on it. It's some sort of like lock system. I can only assume that this will be important later. That this guy has this weird like panic room house that with like automated like lockdowns and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, this is like seemingly like his computer room, which also has a Teotwaki prepper shelf with like toilet paper on it.
And guns. There's an angle later where he's got like a shitload of guns.
Yeah. He's got some like fucking massive servers and stuff.
Yeah.
And like whatever's going on in his three monitors, he's so worried about two of them. They not only like turns the monitors off, he then unplugs the monitors.
It's very strange.
It's very weird. Yeah.
He also has like automated drapes that open up as he walks in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just like, oh, hold on, let me hide all my porn by unplugging all these monitors.
Seriously, is he just like running like a child porn website?
Maybe. He's got a big fucking server farm. So like, what is he doing with that?
He's got like a room that's got like a special lock that's off of this room. And she's like, oh, cool, fiber.
She looks over at him. He's like, oh, like snap his fingers, like back over here. Don't look at that. So you're like, okay.
So he's like, I just need an accomplice to like upload the software real quick.
He designed his security software himself. His window and door sensors throughout the house, and they check into the server every minute on the minute. So if anything happens, it's not supposed to. Like a door or window's open, even a crack. Sensors don't go home, and the system locks down. And she's like, okay, so because of Y2K, basically, like the calendar's going to go to 2000. You've coded, you know, for two digits instead of four digits on the year. So, you know, everything's going to go haywire and you need me to fix your Y2K bug, basically. And it'll lock the house down until she fixes it.
Why is it that he needs a high school senior to do this who's still, like, reading articles about white hat hackers and
yeah, well, so he says that's why I need to kick the tires on this, like, patch he's done ahead of Y2K. And so he says, why don't you go ahead and roll the clocks forward? And we'll see if it goes haywire. So he's already written the patch. He just needs her to like, I think maybe it's like she's going to be in the room. He's going to leave the room and he's going to like be locked out and like she'll have to make sure it unlocks or something. like with the patch. I don't know. It's very strange, like why he would need her for this. But he's basically telling her, like, you test it and I'll go outside.
I'm just going to be in the room violently masturbating.
Yes.
What I mean, like the way he described it too, I pictured a scene where Ethan Hunt's like, here's the catch. Yes. The system updates every minute. So we have 60 seconds to break into this loser's like house in the woods.
Steal all his kiddie porn.
Seriously.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, I want to thank you. You've been so helpful the last couple months. Answering all my questions, giving advice. Feel like I can trust you. And he's like, I got this.
And then back to summer 99, Jeff does like a perfect shot on the beer pong. Yeah, so this is Jeff and Isabella versus like Luke and Megan. Luke is trashed.
Yeah, he's pretty trash. Brent says smash that hoe at one point. I'm not really sure what he's talking about there.
I guess he's just making like general misogynistic comments to the team that contains Isabella.
Maybe that's what he means by that. Which like nobody's just like, dude.
Well, I mean,
kind of rude.
Fucking Porky's high here.
Yeah.
Oh, so like fucking Parker has to like hold the camera. I like how she's pointing it in one direction that's capturing neither team playing. Like, it's just pointing towards the sea.
Luke says, nobody beats Team Chambers, bro. And there's some trash talking between them. Megan says, the ball's got your name on it. Written all over it, birthday boy.
Like, at one point, Luke is, like, sniffing her hair.
They're very chummy, yes. Yeah, so he misses again. Jess says, Luke talks big, but he can't deliver. Yeah, he's, like, whispering in her ear, like, okay, show me how it's done or whatever. She makes it and then like tackles him to the ground, like hugging him. And it's like douche, chill, man.
No, it's like she jumps up to give him a hug, an excited hug, because he's a toothpick. He crumbles under her insubstantial weight.
And we're getting all this like from the Jeff's camera POVs. It's just like he's watching them like have this moment where they're about to like kiss on the ground.
Well, this is Parker filming this.
Is it Parker? Okay.
So Jeff will watch this later and violently masturbate.
But like this like angriest, saddest masturbation session.
I'm sorry. This kid is so bony that when she comes down on top of him, he should have had like two broken ribs. Yeah. But he's like, wow, I've got the weirdest boner. As she's like glowing with the sun behind her and
Brent says just bone already.
Yeah, all his foreplay's giving us blue balls, says this other kid is not Freddy.
Thanks, Tim.
Jeff is like, what?
Oh no. Oh no. Is that what's happening? Oh no.
And like Megan is laughing, like, ha, ha, ha. Everyone sees that we're so right for each other. And Luke is laughing, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I'm super drunk.
And Megan's like looking over at Isabella and smiling, and then like next to Isabella, Jeff's just standing there with this look on his face, like, oh fuck. I've just figured out what's going on.
Oh no. And then we cut to is this Tim at the plunge? He's like taking is this winter 99 like
taking a Polaroid.
Yeah. Is it Tim? Like, why are you hanging out this guy?
I can't see who it is. His like face is covered up. But they're like roasting marshmallows on the beach because it's supposed to be cold. And I think
the culture of this town is fucking yokel nonsense.
Luke says it's cool chilling with you, and she's like, yeah. And he says, I don't think Megan's in me anymore. He's like immediately, you can see him thinking like, seems like things are on the rocks with Megan. Better pivot back to Isabella. I never had that like second sex session with her. Like, let me see if I can angle for it here. Like, that's what's going on in his head.
Yeah. He's just been emboldened by watching the Seinfeld rerun about how to make the switch over.
And he's like, I don't think Megan likes me. And Isabella's like, no, she totally loves you. She's just going through something. He says, well, you were going through something last summer too.
Well,
I don't get it. Is it something that I do? And she's like, no, it wasn't like that at all.
I will praise, is it Lexi Underwood? I will praise her acting in the summer 99. At this point, the part where he's just like, I don't think Megan's into me anymore. And she's like, got the affect of a corpse. She's like, no, she loves you.
So she admits that she broke up with him because she found out that Megan liked him too. And she's like, don't look so surprised. You know, you liked her. It was pretty obvious. You guys were destined to be together. And so he's just, you know, eating his marshmallow or graham cracker or whatever, and like pondering, like, huh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, she says you're destined to be together. He's got no game, because the question would have been like, okay, you broke up with me because she liked me. How do you feel about me? Anyway, cut back to the party and like some
we got
Jeff being knocked down.
It's like Jeff Cam of Megan like leading a drunk Luke like by the hand, like off to like a gazebo in the back. Like it totally looks like she's leading him off to go blow him or something. And Jeff's just like watching this, like, huh? I'm just filming this.
Yeah. Then we get like, we hear some like siren chirps, like a hip cam of like what we think is law enforcement coming over. We see
Parker and
Brent canoodling. And like Brent's like, oh, hide the booze. Everyone, the cops are here. It's just like, you know, fake cop is approaching. We hear a woman over the radio saying like,
it's a cop in hot pants. I mean, it's obviously not a real police officer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one drunk girl is just like, don't arrest me, officer. And then Parker has to be like, that's not a real cop, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But like, presumably Brent hired this girl, so he's playing into it.
Yeah, she's, what's your name, sweetheart? Bunny. I'm Officer Bunny. Who's the birthday boy? Right here, Officer Bunny. And so she's like, I gotta like put you in handcuffs and lead you away to a trailer or something. And like, they all just watch this happen. The whole time thinking like, okay, number one, this kid is like, what, 17?
I was just going to say, if the stripper finds this out, I would presume that she's like running.
Yeah, like he's 17. They seem to imply later that like she fucks him, right?
He applies that because he's a teenage boy. There's no way she fucks him.
But like everybody at this party is just like, oh, look at that guy getting led away by the sex worker. Cool.
Well, okay, number one, if you're the sex worker who unfortunately takes this gig, you're looking around, you're like, fuck, these are all high school kids.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, you're going to go in the airstream where you don't have like a, you know, 50 witnesses. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like she gets in there and she's like, here's the deal, kid. I'm going to look this way. Feel free to jerk off whatever you want in this room. And then I'm going to leave and you say whatever you want to say, but I'm not going to corroborate. So the one group is just like yelling, like just one inappropriate comment after another at them. Like, promo off your nightstick, do a strip search.
We get Jeff Cam like zooming in on Megan, who is like sitting down, watching Luke get led away and like kind of looking disgusted. The lyric on the soundtrack here is, my blood is a sermon that burns upon contact. I don't know what that is.
A little fucking heavy for this show. But like earlier, Megan got to make some Jeff face when the hot cop first showed up. Because she's just like, no, I wanted to rub my butt on his lap.
So we do a match cut to summer 2020 or just summer 2000, where Megan is sitting in that same chair from the same angle.
She makes fucking gym face at Jeff when she realizes she's being filmed.
We see that she's got like some police files on Isabella in front of her. She picks up a cordless phone, dials a number, and says, hi, Trevor, it's Megan Landry calling again. Got your letter. We need to talk. I'll just leave a message, you know. And then she hangs up. And then we're back to summer 99, where Megan is like sneaking up to the trailer to like peek inside to see like what's going on in there between the stripper and Luke. And she's like taking off her top. She's just got her bra on and has like sat him down. It's like about to give him a lap dance or something.
He's got her hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like four sizes too big for his head.
Now I'm just wondering, like, if you were a girl and you were like into a guy and then you saw this happen at his birthday party, are you still super into this guy?
Nope.
Are you? Nope. He's like, I don't know, like unconsciously negging her or something. So she just goes even harder after this, which like, I'm just not sure that that's a realistic reaction.
Is she still into him? Probably, unfortunately.
I feel like she'd be disgusted by this.
Are you going to go harder? No, I mean, because I think it's almost too much whiplash of emotions. But it's like you're going to be hurt as well.
Yeah, you would be hurt and disgusted by this whole situation.
Yeah, like, so winter of 99, now Isabella and Luke are in this car. Where are they parked? Because the water is directly behind them.
I know.
Like, they're parked facing away from the water.
It's a weird angle where, like, all you see out of the back of their window is water.
It looks like they're fucking in the ocean. But, like, they're talking about, like, her taking the fall for the sex tape and, like, the problems he's having.
Breaking up with her, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, she's my sister. And he looks just fucking befuddled by, like, girl friendships. Well,
he says, like, or no, she says, I know that she would do the same for me. And he's looking at her, and I really wanted him to say, I don't think she would, Isabella. Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
He's like, you might be. He's like, you know, and I know that you got this impression from me because I told you Megan's the kind of girl who helps you bury a body, but she's not.
Yeah. Isabel does say, maybe I give up too much, though, but loyalty is everything to me. He says, ask, do you ever regret it? And she says, never. And they stare at each other and he says, I still think about you. And then he tries to kiss her and she's just like, what the hell? And he's like, oh, hold on, hold on. And like, she makes a move like she's going to get out of the car, which seemed like the normal reaction to something like this. But instead, she just puts her seatbelt on and yeah. It's like, let's get out of here, which is like, it just seems extremely awkward to me. I don't know why that was the choice they went rather than her just like getting out of the car and being like, I'll see you around.
Well, who's she going to get a ride home with? The furry?
I guess so. Yeah.
But like, there's no justification for him because she's just said loyalty is everything for me. So he goes in for a kiss. But she kind of does this move where she's like leaning forward to talk to him.
I think
he's misreading that as, here's my lips.
Says, I'm sorry. I thought you were feeling it too. And she says, you thought wrong. We should go. So back to summer 99, where we're all learning how to do the genie in a bottle dance to the Christina Aguilera song.
Yeah. So it's Parker, Isabella, and the two baby oil girls are just like off in this section of the living room. Well, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then Megan walks in and she's like, ooh, I would like to accentuate my figure in a sexy dance.
Well, it's as though they like needed some sort of extra excuse for Megan to like want to do a sexy dance. So they're like, oh, what if she got jealous of a stripper? That's the only way I can interpret what's happening here, is that like they felt like they needed something extra to like boost Megan into like dancing seductively, that they couldn't just have her do it because she's drunk too and likes him.
I like to point out that this dance is essentially the same dance that like what do you call the inflatable guys that you see outside of the car dealerships, the balloon men who just sway back and forth? That's what this whole fucking dance is. Also, the as I'm looking at this one shot, I don't think that's an actual disco ball in the living room. I think it's just a silver balloon hanging from
the
ceiling.
So anyways, Megan's like, oh, I can't dance. But Isabel's like, no, get up here and like practice with us. So they're all practicing their genie in a bottle dance.
Hardly dancing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is when like Luke comes back from the Airstream to talk to his boys, which is his brother and these two jerkwads that they could afford. And they're like, give us the deeds. And he's like, well, she danced on more than just my lap, guys. Who wants to smell my dick?
I mean, they probably did not actually fuck. Who knows?
No, but of course like, not.
I do not understand why this whole stripper thing is in here. It seems like this would kill the vibe between Megan and Luke, but apparently it only encourages it.
No, because they've decided that she's like fucking lovesick for him. Yeah. Brent comes up like a fucking weirdo. And it's just like, us chambersmen, we get it done.
Come on.
Let's go have some.
Tim says, come on, dude, you're my hero. Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's for having like, your brother hire a stripper to fuck you, you're my hero. Anyways,
got it wet.
Yeah, winter 99.
Fucking statue of him to be erected in town.
Megan's hacking away at Ned, the weird computer guy's place. Keen rapidly, the subtitles say. And
why would she be doing this level of stuff?
I don't know.
It says executing.
She's tapping, executing, update deployed system live. She leans back and smiles and says, Ned, I'm done. And then the buzzer sounds and the door lock like unclicks and opens.
So is he watching her on a camera from another room?
I don't understand like any of
this. Is he masturbating in the hallway?
I feel like the people writing the show don't really understand what computers are.
Is it like a Richard Matheson thing that anyone who comes and like presses this button, you know, you get $1 million, but like someone you don't know dies? So he's like showing her.
How many times did you press that button?
Oh, God.
You're just like your fingers like held down on it like what do you mean?
I feel like who is it in the movie version? It's Frank Langella. He's halfway through explaining and I'm just like
it's like if you press this button you'll receive $1 million and you're just like
oh, I don't even need to hear the $1 million. I'm just putting my elbow on it and leaning. Yeah. So like he's like got the chef or the shelf of like his like mobile device failures.
It's like a fake Newton is what he's showing off to her. It's not literally the Newton, probably because he couldn't clear it with Apple. But yeah, he's like showing off this fake Apple Newton. He's like, oh, that was my baby. Like I designed it, but they fired me before it got released or they didn't release it or something like that.
I feel like he's going to pull out something and be like, I want you to be quiet, Megan, but I've got the next big thing. Mm-hmm. It's called a Zune. It's going to take over the world. Oh, God. I remember having a lot of these in the 90s, like these bullshit devices that were supposed to be the next big thing that you, you know, they had
a
terrible
phone, crowds. An iPad or an iPod and an internet communicator. That was the magic device.
Yeah.
So anyways, he's expositions his backstory here about how he taught himself coding. He grew up poor, taught himself coding, climbed the ladder. So when I got fired, I thought my life was over. But now I make my own rules. I'm in control.
Oh, of what? Being homeless or like being like unemployed?
I wonder if this guy like sold low on Apple because like that stock was pretty low in 99.
Yeah, maybe. He's even got like one of those like fake laptops with a super tiny screen that came up like halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, oh, my boyfriend thinks I'm obsessed because I want like control like that. And he's like, well, mostly he just doesn't really get it. Or she says she doesn't really get it. He hasn't had that thing that he loves yet. And this guy looks like he's like going to shit himself hearing about her boyfriend.
He's doing a lot of like looking at the ground, avoiding eye contact, which I guess they told him to play it kind of like, I don't know, nervous and twitchy or something. Well, I feel like he's much twitchier here than the last time we saw him.
Well, I think what they're playing is that he is like physically allergic to like the Steve Chambers legacy. Mm-hmm. Cause that's like really, he's just like, oh, he's a fucking Chambers guy. Fuck him.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, he's not like the other Chambers. He's a good guy. And he's like, well, you know, we'll see. Maybe not. Apple doesn't usually far fall.
Well, he says his far. Yeah. Like me, when I fell out of Apple.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve fired me, Steve Jobs, that is. But yeah, he's just like, his father thinks he's above the law. So it's like, okay, obviously this guy's heard of Steve Chambers. And yeah.
I like to think that he's the guy from that apocryphal Steve Jobs story where he was like in an elevator with Jobs and he like had his like 20-year plaque and like asked Steve to sign it. And Steve was like, wait, you worked here for 20 years? I don't know you. You're fired. Go do something with your life.
Yes. So meanwhile, the boys are like sitting under the pergola now. Jeff's just like in the middle.
Pergola,
just filming shit. And like Genie in the Bottle comes back on. And now the girls are...
they're just doing a dance for the boys.
They just move, like, how awkward was this to, like, just go position yourself in front of the boys and just do this dance when nobody else is dancing at this party? Just
guy number one, ooh, guy number two, nasty. And Luke is so drunk, he's like, is that Megan? Over there shaking that ass, I do not recognize her. And Tim says, it's Landry gone wild.
Were those out yet?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Eric says, didn't know she could move like that. Didn't know she had a body. Brent says that. And so then Tim reaches over to Jeff and he's like, you're a lucky guy, Jeff. And Jeff's like,
Jeff's like, I want to die.
Well, and like she's, Megan's like looking over at them and like doing like the kind of like waving to their hands, like, come here. But she's like looking at Luke the whole time she does it.
But like Jeff thinks she's looking at him. Yeah. He's like, oh, I do count. And then Parker's like, watch and learn, boys. And she starts kissing Amy.
And they all the BMAs. Dudes are freaking out, like, oh my God, two girls kissing each other.
Yeah, well, like, this is weird. It's really weird because, like, Brent's like, that's my girl. And then they start making out because she's like, haha, I have successfully titillated my loser.
What are we watching here? I feel like whoever wrote this episode is, like, really damaged in the 90s by, like, you know, the social scene of teenagers.
Yeah. Well, it should appeal to us because I was really damaged in the 90s by the social situation of teenagers. Yeah, so she goes over to Luke and like offers her hand for him to dance. And he's like, oh, and he gives the boys a look like, I am Luke Chambers after all.
Cut to Jeff.
Just flaccidly fondling his camera down in his lap.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, so they are getting down. And then Eric decides it's time to break out this like bottle of champagne and like spray it all over the place like they're at a strip club. He's like, it's your birthday.
He's going to spray the fucking Andre on them. God, this is like the worst 90s music video.
Yeah, so summer 2000, Isabella's chilling in her like random motel room when there's a knock at the door. She it's Megan.
She's listening on her Walkman to Genie in a Bottle.
Yeah,
you know, nostalgically.
Yeah, so Megan's there and she says, I know about St. Bart, it's about Lisa. And then we just get another classic, like Isabella just making kind of a weird vague face as we go to commercial. It's like they didn't tell her what the other line of dialogue was, and she's still just playing it vague, you know, instead of like giving a real emotion.
Or she's like, oh my God, you've seen a script that talks about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come back from commercial. How did you find out? She's like, Trevor, this visit makes a ton more sense now. So there's a weird line here where, because Isabel says something like, I started to tell you 100 times about Lisa. And Megan's like, you didn't, you know, you've told so many lies. Let me find the one right now. She says, I'm telling you the truth about Lisa. Isabel says that. And it's like, what truth? You literally haven't said anything about her. So what fucking truth? Is it the truth of 1 second ago where you said, I wanted to tell you about Lisa? Because that, yeah. It's like, did we miss a scene?
Yeah, lying about your past, lying about our friendship.
Everything. I've read the police report. It was your idea to go swimming. And then she drowned. And Isabel is just like, no, Lisa jumped in the water on her own. She was drunk, upset. I went to make sure that she was okay. And then she was gone. And then I hopped on a helicopter and got the fuck out of there.
Later, boners.
Yeah, calls it one of the worst nights of her life. Or no, sorry, the worst night of her life. She's like, I should have told you. I wish I had. I don't know. Sure.
So I think, okay, so here's my theory. Mm-hmm. Steve Chambers, I'm going to lay out my whole theory, mm-hmm. which half-baked as it is. We're going to find out something with Isabel where she's going to be like, I was hooking up with Trevor. Lisa was hurt. She got angry. She drowned. Mm-hmm. This is my thing. I read my reveal. I'm innocent. I ran away.
I think so. Let me add on to that. It's going to be one of those things where it kind of feels like she was at fault just because she upset Lisa in the moment or something like that. Like they had a falling out. And like, so she feels some responsibility, even though like, it's not like she literally killed her.
Then blah, 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 something of Steve Chambers, and it looks like he's killed Luke. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap it up, nice little bow on it. Then we're going to get a post-credit where we're going to flash back to something where it's like Steve Chambers left the murder scene or the whatever, thought Luke was dead. Luke coughs up some water, and then Isabella like steps on his neck or something. Mm-hmm. I hate to say, like, because they've been red herring her all season, I really do think Isabella killed Luke.
Okay, I can
see
it.
If it's not Steve, it's Isabella.
My only potential pushback on that is I feel like they're trying really hard to make Megan seem innocent right now, so I'm ready for one last something, you know.
But I feel like this is like that last minute like push, a red herring on Isabel. I don't know. Mm-hmm, then itself is a fake out anyway. So yeah, then she was gone and I was gone on that helicopter, she says.
So summer 99, it's party time. Megan is lighting a bunch of candles for the birthday boy here on his cake. He walks in and says, you know, hey, I'm not, he's like, oh, you're not supposed to see here. The first rule of birthday cake is, he's like, what? And she says, don't talk about birthday cake or something. Like, why is she quoting Fight Club when Fight Club hadn't come out yet? I
don't know. Well, why is anything happening? Yeah. Fucking.
So she's so, like, yeah. Okay, fine. Like he gives him a bite, like feeds him a bite instead of just letting him take a bite. This cake also, by the way, looks disgusting.
Yes, it does.
It looks like it's been out in the heat too long. Like the way, like the viscosity of the frosting when she like takes a bite of it there.
Debbie's like, I'm glad I could help with the cake. It's made of mayonnaise.
And glass.
I just want like a fucking American Vandal season 2. Everyone is just shitting themselves after they eat this cake.
So it's just like, whoa, this is so good. And she's like licking off the spoon herself, like quasi-seductively, you know, not totally, but like, I don't know. Very familiar.
Here's the thing. She looks radiantly cute and gorgeous. Like, mm-hmm. she looks like she is glowing. She looks like the most kissable person in the world. He looks like he can barely stand.
He's and is so about blitzed. To throw up. Yeah.
But he, that is not to say, he also looks exactly like he always looks.
Yeah. And he says, you know, today is like an almost perfect day. And she's just like, you know, I like getting an A in everything. Is there anything I can do to make it even more perfect? And it's like leaning close, like waiting for that kiss. And he's just like running, you know, his hand through her hair. And he's like, I got to puke.
Yeah.
He goes and throws up.
Not because of the booze. Because Debbie made the cake. And it's toxic.
Yeah. So winter 99. Megan has come back to her room from her like hacking adventure, and Luke is waiting there with this like t-shirt from the plunge. It says like, I froze my snowballs off and all I got was a stupid t-shirt
or the lousy
t-shirt. Yeah.
There's no snow.
No, there is no snow. And she's like, oh, this will make the annual collection after all. Thanks. She asks briefly about Isabella having, you know, did you guys have fun? And he says, you're on my mind the whole time. you know, I miss you. And she's just like, cool, I'm going to fuck you now. Let's catch up.
Yeah. I've made $100 from this weird pervert hacker.
Mm-hmm. It's time I reasserted my girlfriendhood.
Yeah. I'm going to suck the skin off your dick. Oh.
All right. Just the visual image of that. It's horrifying. summer 99. Megan's finally like finding Jeff, who's like still hanging out by himself in the gazebo area. And she's like, hey, you've been kind of quiet today. And he's like, just enjoying you step all over my dick.
Like, Jeff is handing her a fucking gift.
Yeah. Jeff basically is just like, hey, today's been educational in a crappy kind of way. She's like, I'm confused. He's like, I saw it before a while back, then it felt like things had changed, that we had something good. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you and Luke, it's so obvious. He's the one you want to be with, not me. You know, it's not just his birthday. Every time you turn around, you're with him, or you're talking about him, or worrying about him, looking at him, whatever.
Here's what should have happened. She should have been like, you know what? You're right. Thank you, Jeff. Hug him. Mm-hmm. Run off.
And he said, it's not fair. Is me being used for practice run. It's like, that's not what it's like. And he's like, you can lie to yourself, Megan, but you can't lie to me. We're done. I mean, at least he's got enough self-respect to end it there rather than just like wait and hope, you know?
Well, but he's also got a little bit of that like self-martyr thing.
Yeah,
like,
he's definitely a martyr. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm the practice run. It's like, not really.
You didn't get to practice that much, my man.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know why she's like pushing back on like...
It's like, Megan, you're sad for 2 seconds and then you're like, okay. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Got that went better than expected.
We need to like pan over.
I didn't
have
to do anything.
We need to pan over to like Bruce Springsteen on the guitar being like, Megan, you'll feel good maybe.
You'll feel better later. But you'll feel better. Yeah. It's kind of it's the scene in Scott Pilgrim when he like has to break up with Knives and he's like thinking about Knives and is sad and then like starts thinking about what's her face, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and he like kind of cheers up. It's like, yeah. All right, we're done with that.
Yeah. So, I missed this when I first watched it. Like Parker does show. Where is Parker? Is she outside the hotel? They never shut the door.
In the next scene, we go to summer 2020. Yeah, there was a very awkward thing when Megan walked in. She didn't shut the door all the way. I remember like noting it as I was watching it live. I mean, like, that's a little weird. Why isn't she shut the door? Well, we're about to find out why she didn't shut the door. Even though most hotels have like automatically shutting doors, they don't just stay open.
Yeah, they're heavy enough that they just automatically shut. Yeah, I kept thinking like, was Parker just like in the other room taking his shit this whole time? But yeah, so like Megan's yelling like, you killed Luke, just like you killed Lisa.
Like randomly, Parker's just like strolling through the hotel. I can only assume the only way this makes sense is that like she was kind of friends with Isabella, so maybe she was coming to see her.
Yeah, she was. We've seen them. Yeah, like she gave her rides and stuff.
Otherwise, it's like, why is she here? To me, this is incredibly sloppy and lazy writing to be like, we don't know how to move the plot forward again, so we're going to randomly have somebody overhear something, and like not like through casual coincidence, but just like it's like so engineered and set up. Like, just this was not a good like construction at all.
You're right, but they have set up though that somehow Parker's her friend. Like they, with the whole breaking into the house.
Sure, they've done the bare minimum, but it's like, come on.
Yeah. So also, when Megan yells, "You killed like Luke, like you killed Lisa," Isabella just like sneers at her.
Yeah, I know, it's a real sneer. But we also get that's why I pretended to be the one on the sex tape. So we hear that too. You know, so that's out. You know, I was doing it to protect you, and then you know, after everything that happened New Year's Eve, I had your back. Did you, or you just covering your own ass? I think you went back to the cabin on New Year's and you killed Luke just like you killed Lisa. So Parker outside is like, I'm learning all this new information.
So go back to summer 99, the aftermath of the party. This is when Debbie and Steve get back. He's in a like peach polo.
Oh, yeah.
There are solo cups, polo. Red solo cups everywhere. There is no way that you as a parent are okay with this.
Well, she's, I mean, not a functionally like adult, you know, mental capacity. So
I'm just saying, I've certainly gone too far a few times.
He immediately goes for the wine glasses too.
But like, it's a little, well, because I don't think he realizes Megan and Isabella are there.
Well, like they continue to like do their own thing with the girls there to the point where the girls are like, I guess we should leave. I feel like they might just start fucking if we stand around long enough.
But I mean, if you're Steve Chambers and you come back to this woman's house, number one. Then number two, you add in these two girls. Aren't you just going to be like, your house is depressing. Let's go back to my house.
I feel like he would have been like, let's go to my house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, weren't it in the pilot or the, you know, S2E1, didn't it kind of seem like in winter 99, they were getting together for the first time? Am I wrong in catching that vibe? There's like a scene with them where like they kiss. And it
I
kinda,
can't remember the parking lot scene.
Yeah, yeah, it was a parking lot scene.
The infamous Steve Chambers charm. I can't remember if that's episode one or I can't remember if that's summer 99 or if that's winter 99. Because I think it's summer. Because they are definitely...
I mean, it was outside and it was sunny, so who could know, you know?
It really seems like they're together at the party with the tape.
They're definitely together then. But it seemed like they'd gotten together recently. Maybe I'm wrong in that. I don't know.
Maybe they were just like starting to get together. She's also like...
They were just like some FWB in it for a while.
Well, she's also like made out with like her biker ex since then too, which yeah. I guess... I'd say get it, Debbie, but like that's not healthy. You're not legally able to
All right. I gotta look and find out. This is going to bother me.
So, yeah, like they're talking about if everyone had a good time here while you're looking that up. And Debbie says, everyone had a good time. The cops didn't come. Now, that's a hit in my book. And even Steve is like,
Okay, I just checked. It was winter 99 where they're walking in the parking lot and they kiss. And that really seemed like it was maybe the first time they were together. But who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe the writers forgot.
He's giving a lot of side eye. Like, I can't believe this fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Like, when she says like, oh, we went to like dinner and a movie, Steve is like giving Megan a look like, oh, I didn't do that because obviously that would be a little uncool. She's not able to make decisions for herself.
They mentioned the one time at band camp thing to let us know that they went to see American Pie.
Oof.
It was really funny, they say. Oof. I mean, Debbie is an all time this one time at band camp kind of lady. So,
yeah. She is like an American Pie joke.
American Pie came out like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago from when this takes place, but sure.
Sure.
I mean, these girls, like Isabella and Megan, I feel like they saw it. And so like, this is even like weirder and grosser that they're like quoting lines from American Pie to each other.
Megan is not like a girl who goes to see American Pie to me. Or does not seem like a girl.
I feel like Luke would want to go see it.
Maybe. Maybe she like third wheeled it with like Luke and Isabella when they were still dating. But like, does this date with Steve and Debbie ask for like Steve asking for the wine list and Debbie ordering off a children's menu and then coloring the tablecloth for the food arrives? She's just like,
Garcon, can we get some crayons? Oh, do you have somebody else coming? No.
He's like, let me get the creme brulee and this thing and that thing. And she's just like, Franks and beans.
Do you guys have corn dogs here?
Yule logs. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So winter 99 post-coital scene with Megan and Luke there. She's just destroyed him. Sucked the skin right off, apparently. She says, really glad that you came over. We need time alone together.
And then
sorry,
came
it's been
over.
Weird the last few days. And so she's like, oh, when it comes to money, you guys are just on a completely different planet from me. Sometimes it's hard. It's, you know, it's not your fault, whatever. And then he's going to do a little thing here. He's like, hey, I got to tell you something. You know, there's like a weird thing happened with Isabella earlier and you're like, oh, is he going to admit it? And he says, she tried to kiss me. And Megan's like, what? And he's like, oh, I totally put a stop to it, but you know, it was weird. I thought you should know. So, wow. What an evil little bitch.
Yeah. I still think that he did the sex tape too.
Okay.
Cause I mean, I think the show has said it's not Brent, right?
Yeah,
we've all
established that, yeah.
In the world that we're blaming on Brent, but the show has said it's not Brent.
To what end? Is he just like trying to ruin his dad and like show off?
I don't know.
I mean, that is a good point you bring up. We haven't really thought lately about who actually did that and why.
Yeah.
And nobody seems particularly interested. They just assume that it was Brent.
No, other than like the one throwaway line in this episode, the show hasn't talked about the sex tape in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be Luke if he's like, maybe they're building up to like Luke's a secret shithead. Like why? Maybe that's why the scene with the stripper is in there and just like dropping clues the whole time that like this guy actually kind of sucks. Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe they kill him together because it turns out he's an asshole. Like if they like, if they find out that he leaked the tape himself on purpose or something, and so like they both do him in and like cover it up. I don't know.
Steve's like, by the way, you killed your mom.
Mm-hmm. It's still weird also that we never saw the body. I don't understand that filmmaking choice.
Yeah, I mean, I can only assume that we're going to get an episode that tries to make us think that like it wasn't actually Luke's body. But I hope it is.
I mean, 6 months in the water, I don't know what you're going to look like by that point. Like,
I feel like the show can't afford the makeup.
Yeah.
Or just can't do it on
a, I mean, how would you be able to identify free form? Him? Maybe just the clothes he's wearing or something?
Yeah. Well, do the thing where you see
are they going to do a thing where he's still alive? That would be really annoying.
If he's still alive, then I still think Stinger, Isabella goes and kills him.
I think we'll know if we get some sort of reveal in the next episode or two that like Steve knew it was him because of the clothes he was wearing or something like that. Like if there's any sort of mention of that being used to identify him, I'm gonna be like, yep, that's not his body.
Well, and was it like it's either the eighth episode or the ninth episode, it's called like the Miseducation of Luke Chambers. So there's like some kind of
I don't know how you can use that origin. Title with fucking Luke. It just feels vaguely insulting and maybe racist.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Luke has completely thrown Isabella under the bus here and been like, oh, she'd kiss me. I mean, to get out in front of it. Cause like now she's never going to believe Isabella if you know, the other truth comes out.
Yeah. So then this scene confused me. So summer 2000, Parker runs like straight to the sheriff's office.
Can I just tell you the sheriff's dialogue when she runs into his office and shuts the door?
He says, hey, sweetheart, this is a nice surprise.
Get it, sheriff. Get it.
What am I supposed to believe? Is she his
secret? He's very casual. He's just like, hey, sweetheart, this is a nice surprise. Like maybe he's just being friendly.
Is this his secret daughter? Or are they dating?
Yeah, I don't know. She says, I just heard something. And I think he should know. And he's like, interesting. We'll follow that up in the next episode.
He's right. Like, is it a hot tip about the Seahawks?
Do I need to get my bookie on the line right now?
I was like, do I know any regional sports teams from that area?
Blazers?
So back in still summer of 2000, Megan comes home and like Debbie's been sitting in the dark for 7 hours. Like
I can't find the light switch.
Even though this almost reminds me of like CinemaSins thing, it was like there's like 8 lamps.
Yeah, seriously.
Dark house. Like you can't buy this many lights to have it be this dark.
So she says we need to talk, and Megan says, "Where did you get those?" Says they were in the Airstream. Those what exactly? It's some sort of material with a blood stain on it. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Pajamas, maybe? Would you say those about pajamas?
I guess so. It's a hideous pattern.
Yeah, yeah, it's really ugly. It looks like a shower curtain, honestly.
We get this fucking like split diopter shot.
Mm-hmm.
There's some real Brian De Palma in this here. Yeah. Is this Luke's blood? I've been licking it.
And she says, Megan says, you think I killed him? And Debbie says, I love you. There's nothing I won't do for you. I need to know what happened. And Megan says, and what if you don't like what you hear? And they both stare at each other.
Like,
and
then it cuts to
black. Yeah. It's like, we got to stretch this out one more episode for the next reveal. So I don't know. Bloody pajamas. You know what it's going to be?
Hmm.
It's going to be fucking miscarriage blood. Right? Like, isn't it going to be something like, how did they get rid of the baby? There's just no fucking way they're actually going to have an abortion. So she got the magical miscarriage.
I'm bleeding. Hand me those disgusting pajamas.
Now, why would she hold? No, those are just like what she was wearing or something. I don't know. But like, why would she keep those bloody pajamas the whole time and then try to throw them away later? I don't know, but I could totally see that coming. I don't know.
That reminds me of when we were like dreading the what was it in PLL season 7?
The Emily's Allison eggs.
Allison being impregnated of Emily's eggs. We're like, please don't do that.
My eggs. Oh no, I've been impregnated with Allison's eggs. You know what's wrong with this mystery among many other things? It just doesn't feel like we've established enough of the kind of like the initial setting and like where the various pieces on the board were, like it's too vague. Mm-hmm. We don't even know where he died or how he died still. Not entirely. Yeah. It's like he was shot at, but that didn't kill him. And he had drugs in his system. And there's a mention of a cabin. We don't know if it happened at the cabin or not. Like, I don't know. It's everything feels like it would be more exciting if we had more to go on. But like, we don't have enough clues yet to kind of like check on and, you know, be noting when something's confirmed. Yeah.
Doing multiple things to kill him, like he's fucking Rasputin. Mm-hmm. No, but like, yeah, see, I think that lends it to something like, one of those is Steve, and like he walks away thinking that he's dead. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe we get
the classic thing where like eight different people think they killed him or something.
They're all in on it. Mm-hmm. Because he's such a little piece of shit.
Yeah, they just find out this guy's actually the biggest fucking turd. Like he's even worse than Brent. Everyone dead.
They're like, no. It's actually genius casting. Mm-hmm. It's actually genius. But all yeah, right. I mean, I need another scene where the sheriff's just like, I'm all alone in my office. Why don't I just peruse the police report again and read it out loud for all the details that I didn't read out loud before?
Well, we've already had some recapping. It's like maybe just a little more to like give us the kind of ground rules for the mystery here.
Hey, Officer Ben, come back in here and have a seat. I'm just going to read some more of this police report to you like it's an audiobook.
Hold on a second. The Blazers traded for who? 1 minute. I need to call my bookie.
I wouldn't even be upset if there was like an extended bizarre intermission to every scene of the sheriff where he's like either calling his bookie or he's just like staring past someone at a TV watching scores and being like, fuck.
Yeah. It's just full on uncut gems. This is how I win. All right, so that was a plunge. The next episode, S2E7, it's the end of the world as we know it. So it's obviously it's Y2K. We're finally at the party. No, and I just saw from the description on IMDb, it said suspicion falls on Ned. Oh, no.
Okay.
I feel like they needed to do a little bit more with Ned before this episode if they really wanted us to take him seriously.
So what have we learned so far about this? Is that they went to the beach or drove around for a while or something?
Well, she says they did.
And then she took him to the cabin and she was supposed to come back the next morning?
I think she says that to the mom, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. He was going to run away, she says. Okay. I mean, we don't know if that's true or not, but yeah.
Yeah. He wrote a note, maybe.
There's the issue with the money. There's the blood that Megan went to clean up. Ned, as far as I can tell, is still alive in 2000. So.
Yeah.
I don't like. It'd be one. Okay. I was going to say, like, well, he, you know, they could have killed him or something. But then it's like, no, he's still alive. But have we actually seen him in 2000? Or have we only seen her talking to him on AIM? I'm not sure if we've actually seen him in 2000.
So what you're saying is that it could be Luke staying in his house.
It could be Luke staying in his house using his AIM. And that's how they communicate. Although, like, why is Luke still talking about, like, giving her the files she needs and whatnot? I don't know. And I suppose that's a possibility. And they, like, put... like scrawny ass little Luke's clothes on like much bigger adult man Ned and like dumped him in the lake. Yeah, I don't know.
The water really.
This is where Cassie is important. If you're gonna do switcheroos, really? You got to make sure like your actors are broadly similar sizes.
The water really bloated him up. Mm-hmm. It's like the fucking Friends line of like, oh, the camera ends 10 pounds. Yeah. How many cameras are on you, Monica?
Ouch. Well, that's the thing. It's like there's nobody else in the cast who appears to be Luke's size. So I can't think of anyone else you could do a switcheroo with at all.
Listen, guys, if you're listening, we got a lot of theories. They all suck. Mm-hmm. As does the show.
Yes.
Somebody's probably sitting there laughing. You don't need to tweet us with some kind of like, oh, you guys are onto something. I mean, you can, I guess. I don't know.
No hints. But no hints.
Yeah, that's... just pat us on the head and tell us we're
experience this dumb mystery completely unspoiled.
And you want that.
Yeah, don't you?
You though? Sickos. You sickos are enjoying this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's wrap this up.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to iTunes, or it's not even iTunes. Go to the podcast app or your podcast app of choice. Leave rate and review us. We always appreciate those. If you want to support us even more, you can go to mynameistrouble.com or TroubleTakesAHoliday.com or TroubleAlwaysFindsMe.com. All three of those .coms will take you to the same website, which is our book website for our girl detective mystery series about a girl named Trouble. We have three books. They're available through Amazon as like hardcover, paperback. You can get ebooks through Kindle, Apple. You know, it's all out there. Pretty easy to obtain if you want. They're fun mysteries about a teenage detective named Trouble. I promise you they're better than the mystery in this episode of Cruel Summer. And they reward close reading. So if you really like what we're laying down here, go check out our books. They're a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week for It's the End of the World.
As we know it, and I feel fine.
Bye. Bye-bye.